It's 4:30 and 86 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
Sometimes you have to put them in there because you have no place else to put them in.
Rowan County's judge executive expects the new detention center to fill quickly.
Lewis County authorities launched a drug sweep today.
Augusta has a new police chief.
The FCC wants to lower the standard of broadband speed.
The Tenco District jobless rate is higher than the state average.
In sports, the Reds face the Red Sox tonight in Cincinnati.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear skies with lows around 63 degrees tonight. An extended weather forecast is coming up after this news.
Lewis County has launched the largest drug sweep in its history. According to WTVQ, Lewis County Sheriff's Office and the Vanceburg Police Department arrested more than 40 suspects during Operation Fall Harvest, which started at 6 o'clock this morning. Sheriff Johnny Biven says the criminal indictment roundup includes illegal sale and possession of prescription pills, cocaine, methamphetamine, heroin, and other narcotics. Ivins believes most, if not all, families have been impacted in some way by drugs. He said, compassion is necessary, but today was a day to be tough. The month-long investigation began early this spring, according to Bivens.
Jackson County deputies are searching for a teenager who went missing early Thursday morning. According to WKYT, 16-year-old Cody William Tencher of McKee took cash and a semi-automatic pistol before leaving home on Highway 2002. He's driving his parents' white 2003 Ford F-150 truck, according to deputies. Tenchard's mother told authorities he suffers from reactive attachment disorder that prevents him from bonding with his parents. She says that also means the teen lacks impulse control. The teen's parents said they recently learned that he has not been taking his medications as prescribed. Deputies described Cody Tencher as 6'1", weighing approximately 250 pounds, with black hair cut above his ears and no facial hair. They say he may be wearing a brown jacket and a cowboy hat. Deputies ask that if you see Tencher or the truck, do not try to talk to him. Instead, call Jackson County Dispatch at 606-287-9979 or 911 to report information.
A Northern Kentucky man has pleaded guilty to the 2015 beating death of a 7-week-old boy. The Kentucky Inquirer reports 25-year-old Cody Phelps of Walton pleaded guilty Wednesday to charges of first-degree manslaughter and first-degree criminal abuse in the death of Aiden Wainscott. Wainscott was found unresponsive in his crib in November 2015 while under the care of Phelps, the boyfriend of the baby's mother at the time. Phelps was not the boy's biological father. A report from the Boone County Sheriff's Department says Phelps said he noticed the baby's chest wasn't moving while changing his diaper. Phelps was arrested 2 days after the baby's death, after investigators learned Wainscott suffered head trauma and broken bones.
Augusta has a new police chief. WMKY's Jack Cottle has more.
According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, Matt Jones is originally from Foster, but has been living in Augusta while working most recently as a police officer in Campbell County. He replaces Harry Brooks, who has been holding the Augusta chief's job on an interim basis. Jones says he wanted to become Augusta's top cop in order to be closer to home. Among his goals is to have his new department working more closely with the local school system. With two openings in the town's police department, the Augusta City Council has been discussing contracting with the Bracken County Sheriff's Office to help cover things. Jones, however, has now filled one of those openings. For WMKY News, I'm Jack Cottle.
Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins believes the county's new jail will have its 275 beds filled within just a few months of its scheduled opening. The $18 million facility is expected to be ready for occupancy by the end of February. Blevins says the conditions at other county jails and inside Kentucky's prison system have helped him form that opinion.
You look around the state, most every facility is over capacity. And our prisons are over capacity, so we have to build some more or come up with some other solutions. I think that place will be filled up two or three months. I really do. I think there's such a crowding right now in most facilities. I think they'll be looking for this place to add some relief.
While Rowan's new detention center will include 275 inmate beds, it will have the capacity to hold up to 350 prisoners in emergency situations. The county's current lockup, which was built in the late 1980s, has just 78 beds, but is currently holding 142 prisoners.
Kentucky's penal system could once again include private prisons in response to statewide overcrowding. WKYT reports the Commonwealth ended its contract with Nashville-based Core Civic a few years ago. At the time, Justice and Public Safety Secretary John Tilley was in favor of walking away from the private detention service, but now he says state and county lockups are overflowing.
We're in negotiation with a private prison company that owns three sites here, in the same three that where we terminated those contracts some time ago. We're holding a hard line on we want to make certain that our relationship with them is one which benefits Kentucky, that we don't see the same problems we saw, you know, years ago.
Tilley says in recent months, the state had almost 25,000 inmates and only 12,000 state beds. The rest of the burden falls to county jails. Tilley says he thinks the problem comes from the combined effects of low felony thresholds, bail inconsistencies, and the drug epidemic.
We'll take a look at more of your local news after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Fiscal Court, keeping our community a safe and enjoyable place to live and work while moving forward in a progressive but responsible manner. County services include the detention center, road department, ambulance service, and animal control. In addition, funding for the airport, parks and recreation, economic development council, and other community organizations provided under the guidance by the elected officials of the Rowan County Fiscal Court.
State Representative Rocky Adkins of Moorhead says the legislature should consider expanded gaming to help pay off the Commonwealth's $33 billion pension debt. The Democrat, though, isn't optimistic that Republican leadership in the House and Senate will agree to move forward with that plan, even though the revenue from expanded gaming could help erase the pension system's red ink.
Our two members, Dennis Keene and Rick Rand, introduced a bill that's here's another option, an issue you could put on the ballot. Let the people vote on it and see if they want to have expanded gaming in Kentucky or not. But from that, dedicate that revenue that would be raised to the pensions as we move forward as an avenue that could be taken. But Republican leadership has pretty well already said that's off the table, that's not going to be looked at.
Adkins says he hasn't yet seen any details involving a potential solution to the state's pension crisis from the legislature's Republican leaders. He plans to meet with pension beneficiaries in his district to get their thoughts on the matter.
A statue of Jefferson Davis at the Kentucky Capitol is causing controversy. The plaque under the Confederate leader identifies him as a patriot, hero, and statesman. Ron Snyder, retired park manager of the Jefferson Davis Monument State Historic Site, points out that this depicts Davis without the essential context of his role in the American Civil War.
It's important that, you know, our young people and even our old people know the truth and know exactly what the man did. The three words that we voted to remove from his plaque, those three words was for the things that he did before the Civil War.
Black leaders have called for the removal of the statue. A committee for the State Historic Advisory Commission has recommended merely replacing the current plaque with a more historically accurate one. The full commission is scheduled to vote on the proposal next month.
Most of Kentucky's electricity still comes from coal, but a leading conservative group is intensifying the call for sustainable energy sources. The Sierra Club is working on a grassroots campaign to increase renewable energy across the state. Lexington resident and Sierra Club member Judy Humble says most power companies in Kentucky are creating pilot solar arrays as part of their energy transition. She says big businesses are also investing heavily in solar along with residential homes.
People who have acquired residential solar are extremely satisfied with it. It's sort of like pay once, benefit forever. And I think that advances in technology and the decline in cost is going to help it make it much more feasible in Kentucky.
Humble says the Bluegrass chapter of the Sierra Club is planning a solar open house in Lexington next month to introduce people to the benefits of renewable energy. According to the U.S. Department of Energy, a little more than 2% of the energy produced in Kentucky comes from renewables. By comparison, it's 42% in neighboring Missouri.
The Federal Communications Commission wants to change what they consider broadband by lowering the standard of speed. The FCC currently holds the home broadband standard at 25 megabits per second. The agency's chair, Ajit Pai, says he wants the FCC to substitute cellular service as the new standard at 10 megabits a second. Kate Forsey is with Public Knowledge, an internet accessibility advocacy group. She says mobile internet is not sufficient for Kentucky's needs.
It's very difficult to stream University of Kentucky basketball, but also more fundamental needs like applying for jobs, for kids to do their homework and file book reports or do research. It's the FCC's job to make sure that people aren't getting left behind in 21st century America.
According to an FCC report from 2016, 2 out of 5 rural Americans do not have access to 25 megabits per second broadband. Forsey says it's important for people to not only show their support for net neutrality, but accessibility as well.
Kentucky's August 2017 count-by-count unemployment rates have been released, and the Tenco District's jobless rate is higher than the state average. Kenzie Thompson reports.
Although the Tenco District is home to over 76,000 working people, there are still almost 5,900 people who don't have jobs. That factors out to an unemployment rate for the area of 7.2%. The Tenco District includes the counties of Rowan, Bath, Montgomery, Mason, Bracken, Robertson, Lewis, Greenup, and Boyd. Rowan County's jobless index was 6% for last month, 0.8 of a point above Kentucky's unemployment rate, which was 5.2%. The nation's stands at 4.5%. The average wage in the Commonwealth's Tenco District is $18.67 an hour. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Kinsey Thompson.
Officials from the Moorhead Utility Plant Board will go before the Kentucky Infrastructure Authority early next month to seek money for the planning and design phase of their new water treatment plant. General Manager Holly McGrath-Rosa says the MUPB hopes to have the $22 million facility built in 5 years. She says its current water treatment plant, which went online in the 60s, is outdated and won't be able to meet the growing demands the area will have in the coming years because of an expected residential and industrial growth spurt. According to McGrath-Rosas, while the old water plant's capacity rating is 8 million gallons a day, it can't handle that amount.
Our plant is really antiquated, and we can only, at a maximum, produce around 7 million a day. So there are times when we're hitting over 70% capacity, which by law, the Division of Water would require us to start coming up with a plan on how we would upgrade from there.
Among the improvements with the new water treatment plant, the MUPB will construct a new raw water intake on Cave Run Lake, along with new distribution systems.
Fleming County Fiscal Court has given the go-ahead to a resolution that approves the county's solid waste plan from 2018 through 2023. According to Judge Executive Larry Foxworthy, it's a routine matter and there were few changes made to the plan.
It's pretty much the same unless you have some type of unless you have some new trash pickup haulers or garbage people that come in and want to be licensed to pick up in your county. We update that every year. But as far as our disposal, we contract with the landfill in Mason County. We dispose of everything, and we've been doing that for several years.
Foxworthy says Fleming County Solid Waste Coordinator Donna Ramsey oversees implementation and direction of the solid waste plan. He adds the county sends its garbage to the landfill in Mason County because it doesn't have its own such facility, which would require EPA approval and regular inspections.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight, mostly clear skies with lows around 61. Some areas of fog will gather after 5 a.m., lingering until around 10 a.m. on Saturday. Sunny skies on Saturday with highs near 86, clear with lows around 61 on Saturday night. On Sunday, clear skies with highs near 84 and lows around 62. Monday, clear skies, highs around 85 and lows near 63. Looking at temperatures around the region, it's currently 87 degrees in Lexington, 85 degrees in Inez, and it is 86 degrees in Flemingsburg, Ashland, Winchester, and it's 86 here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On today's commentary, Dr. John Modaff wonders if teachers may be the next casualties in the robot invasion.
One of the most rhetorically effective shots fired in the war to normalize robots might surprise you. No, it wasn't Metropolis or Lost in Space. The first shot was the Wizard of Oz. Can you think of a more charming machine than the Tin Man? Oh, I know he was both machine and man. The novel gives us the backstory, though, and none of that silly singing. Baum explains that the Tin Man, through a series of misfortunes, kept losing his own limbs and then eventually his entire body, fashioning, a piece at a time, a new one out of metal. Kind of like Will Smith in I, Robot. But Smith didn't pine for a heart in that pragmatic paradox that led the Tin Man to join Dorothy's posse. The movie and the book lead the audience to one conclusion. For a machine to become human, it must have a heart. But given our current rush to robotization, should we take a moment to reflect further on the absent heart in the machine? Jack Haley made a machine with no heart seem so charming in The Wizard of Oz, but I think we were always to take that as a result of his once being a human, that the longing for a heart was what made him still nearly human, even if he didn't have one. In the novel, the wizard actually makes one for him, a precursor to Christian Bernard, I suppose, and as we know in the movie, he gets that cheesy clock that's supposed to be a fit substitute. Speaking of substitutes, let's get to the topic of today's commentary, which does involve robots and hearts, but in a land far from Oz. The place is schools, friend. Yes, more than one expert predicts that teachers will be replaced by teaching machines. Machines so capable that they could beat the machine that beat Boris Spassky. Yes, teachers will go the way of the dot matrix printer. Teachers will be piled up in dusty desert dunes like the airplane graveyard, obsolete as an old crop duster. What? Never! If you're a teacher, you know you cannot be replaced by a mere machine. Okay, Boris, let's reflect. As mentioned, in chess, a robot rules the world. Are you saying that teaching is more complicated than chess? Come on, chess? Oh yes, there are a finite number of choices in chess, and an infinite number of choices in teaching humans, particularly because they do not move according to rules at all times, as chess pieces must do. Still, at any given moment, what a student needs as an individual can be provided mainly, if not mostly or entirely, by a robot. This is particularly true since touch has been banished from schools. Robots can drive, they can fly planes, they can assist in surgery, they can dispense medications as fast as lightning, they never get tired, they're malleable, adaptable, evolving, equipped with nearly infinite factual material, able to project, play, store, archive, retrieve, apply, design, and teach, just like you. And they never get tired. Now, what are we teachers going to do to keep ourselves looking fresh next to the iInstructor 7? I'm John Motor.
Commentator John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. One quick announcement, WMKY will now be accepting essays and commentary from the community. The locally produced pieces will be aired on this show and can cover a variety of topics. You can find the guidelines for submission as well as the agreement on our website, WMKY.org, under the MSPR tab. Email your submissions to me at l.akers@morehedstate.edu. Tilden Johnston has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays near the Moorhead City Park. The Round County Farmers Market features homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and senior checks accepted. For more information, call 784-5457. Supporting local farmers, the Round County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud.
The Reds are back at it. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The Reds are starting their three-game stint with the Boston Red Sox tonight at 7:10 at the Great American Ballpark. The Reds are coming off a three-game series beatdown by the St. Louis Cardinals, losing the last game in the set 5-8 yesterday. The Reds are starting rookie pitcher Sal Romano, the 23-year-old who shut out Pittsburgh for 8 innings. This is only the third time the Red Sox have played in Cincinnati since the 1975 World Series that the Reds won in 7 games. The Kentucky football team will try to add to its 3-0 record tomorrow night at 7:30 when it hosts the number 20 Florida at Kroger Field. 19th-ranked Louisville has a noon start tomorrow against Kent State at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. The Bengals start Week 3 action Sunday at 4:25 p.m. when they play in Green Bay against the Packers. This is the first game for the Bengals since last Friday's firing of their offensive coordinator, Ken Zampezi. Coach Marvin Lewis made the decision after they lost the first 2 games of the season. Their standing offensive coordinator is quarterbacks coach Bill Lazor. Also from the NFL, the Cleveland Browns take on the Indianapolis Colts, also on Sunday at 1 p.m. And a group of current and former NFL players are asking for the league's support for their campaign for racial equality and criminal justice reform. And the attorney for a former Patriots tight end, Aaron Hernandez, who'd been convicted of murder, says the man's brain has shown signs of the degenerative brain disease, CTE. And the Minnesota Vikings quarterback Sam Bradford won't be playing this week against Tampa Bay due to a left knee injury. Bradford practiced on a limited basis Wednesday and Thursday, but set out today. Moorhead State's football Eagles begin their PFL schedule tomorrow at 1 p.m. by hosting Dayton. Coach Rob Tenyer says the 1-2 MSU will have a chip on its shoulder in facing the Flyers after absorbing routes at the hands of Liberty and Austin Peay the last 2 weeks.
You know, I think for us, I think the really important thing is for us to start fast, whether it be offense, defense, maybe a big play in the kicking game, get a little confidence early in the game, get us kick-started. And I think that'll really help our football team early in the game.
An annual favorite to win the PFL, Dayton also has a 1-2 record as it begins conference play. The Rowan County football team celebrates homecoming this evening by playing its district opener at 7:30 against Ashland Blazer. Coach Kelly Ford knows it will be an emotional night for his 1-4 Vikings, and he wants them to embrace that situation.
Our kids feed off the fire, so all the excitement is going on. I think it'll go right on at our kids because they're young and, you know, they don't know any better and they, you know, they love to have fun. So I think it's the team to make them better.
Blazers Tomcats are 3-2. They hammered Rowan 45-0 last year and are 19-0 lifetime against the Vikings. Elsewhere tonight, 2-2 West Carter is at home to meet 1-3 Russell, a team coach Kevin Brown's Comets have never beaten.
But I feel like the last four or five years that we've closed the gap and, you know, competed very well with them. And I would expect us to do that again this Friday night.
3-1 Fleming County hosts 1-3 Lewis County, which has averaged over 50 points in the last 2 games. However, Fleming coach Bill Spencer says the Panthers know how to light up the scoreboard as well.
You know, our offense has played well this season, even last week in the loss at Montgomery County. You know, we had around 450 yards of offense, and really when you have that kind of offense, you have to be able to win a ball game. So, you know, if our offense keeps playing the way that they've been playing, I think, you know, things are both pretty good for us.
Other games, Bath entertains Pendleton, Morgan hosts Estill, Boyd is at Johnson Central, and East Carter visits Greenup. Saddled with a 1-7 overall record and off to an 0-2 start in the OVC, the Moorhead State soccer team faces Southeast Missouri in league action tonight at Jane Stadium. Coach Warren Lipka says his struggling Eagles need to get it done tonight on their home field.
We have to take advantage of them. You know, this is where you get an advantage, and we've got to take it, and And like I said, just I'm almost not even concerned about what they're going to do. I'm more concerned about what we're going to do.
The contest kicks off at 7. And lastly in sports, the Morehead State Volleyball Eagles start OVC play tomorrow in Nashville when they face Belmont. The Bruins are the pick to win the league. MSU coach Jamie Gordon says there are several keys for his young team if they want to beat Belmont.
Serving game in order to get them out of system and try and get them to maybe 1 to 2 options instead of 3 and 4 options is going to be key. You know, and then just the composure that we can hold. I think with that youth, you want to make sure that as you hit some of the bumps, you're balancing them well and recovering well. And I think that composure that we can show is going to be key as you hit the road in conference play.
The Eagles were 1-1 against Belmont last season. They're 9-4 as they begin OVC play. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Football hosts Dayton at 1 p.m. tomorrow for family weekend, and soccer welcomes Southeast Missouri at 6 p.m. tonight and UT Martin at 1 p.m. on Sunday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY. U.S. stocks closed narrowly mixed as healthcare stocks recovered most of their losses. The Dow Industrials closed out its second consecutive week of gains as it was up 0.4% on the week. And at the close in today's action, the Dow Industrials actually finished with a small loss of 9.64 at 22,349.59. The S&P 500 was up 1.62 at 2502.22, and the NASDAQ Composite was also up 4.23 at 6426.92. Healthcare stocks, which were one of the worst performers in the S&P earlier in the day, climbed more than 0.5% from session lows to finish up about 0.1%, and top gainers included Centene, HCA Healthcare, and Universal Health Services. And the move in these medically related stocks came after Senator John McCain said he cannot in good conscience vote for the Graham Cassidy proposal to scrap Obamacare. The small stock index today set a new record with the Russell 2000 gaining about 0.5%, and geopolitics also continued to put pressure on markets today as the North Korean Minister of Foreign Affairs said that the country may consider testing a hydrogen bomb in the Pacific Ocean. And as a result, safe havens got a boost today. The Japanese yen gained 0.3%, and the Swiss franc gained almost 1% against the dollar, while gold futures climbed more than 0.3%. And the dollar index continued to shed gains from earlier this week as it was down just over 0.1%. And the yield on the 10-year Treasury note fell as bond prices went up today, with the 10-year finishing at just below 2.26%. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.2% to finish at $50.66 a barrel, amid signs that OPEC is adhering to production cuts. Gold, as mentioned, was strong today. It was up 0.3% at $1,299.70 in New York trading. Overseas in Europe, the Stoxx 600 index managed a small gain of 0.1%. In Asia, markets were definitely weak, with the Nikkei down 0.25% and the Hang Seng index in Hong Kong down 0.8%. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Cisco and Verizon. The worst performers were United Health Group and Apple. In the S&P 500, the best performers were CarMax and L Brands, and the worst performers were DaVita and Insight. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 6 cents at 64.16, CSX up 0.25 at 53.10, AEP down 92 cents at 70.53, AK Steel down 32 cents at 5.22, and Marathon Petroleum was up 33 cents to finish at 54.70. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Come and enjoy the Cave Run Symphony Orchestra with conductor Dr. Timothy Durbin as they perform Romantic Interlude, October 1st at 3 p.m. in the Moorhead Conference Center. Featured works by Verdi, Hanson, Tchaikovsky, and Rodgers and Hammerstein. Ticket prices $15 for adults, children ages 17 and under free, MSU students free with ID. The Cave Run Symphony Orchestra and Romantic Interlude, October 1st at 3 p.m. in the Moorhead Conference Center.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition today. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Jack Cottle, Sean Delaney, Tilden Johnson, Arlo Barnett, Logan Pemberton, Kinsey Thompson, and Chaz Jenkins. With our feature segment today, commentator John Modath. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and Translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.